Appreciate very much the presence of each one this evening, and for those who are visiting with us, I want you to know that I welcome you, that we as a congregation are pleased to have you in our company this evening, and we would invite you to come back and join us when you have an opportunity to do so. Please understand that you have a responsibility to know the truth, and you're going to be held accountable for the things that you believe in and the way that you live your life, and so I want to encourage you, study for yourself. Study to understand God's Word. I think most of us realize that there is enough difference between us so that we are unique and distinct in many ways. We are diverse. We are diverse sometimes by way of age. We are blessed in this congregation to have a number of quite young children, those who have been born over the last 5, 6, 7 months. We are looking forward to yet another. And so we understand the idea that the blessing of young children. We are also blessed to have those who are a little older in age, those that some might think of and consider to be elderly, those who are wise, in their age. And so we recognize again that there is great diversity among people with regard to age. And when you look at each age group, you understand that they have their own particular problems and challenges in life, things that they have to deal with. And then we also see diversity among people with regard to the family status. You may be a child. You may be a husband or wife. You may be a sibling. You may be a parent. You may be a grandparent or a grandchild. And so clearly, there is a difference in family status. Some children are fortunate enough to come from loving families, families who have an interest in their soul, moms and dads who want to raise them as God wishes, as God wills. And so they understand that. We also recognize that there are differences in the socioeconomic factors. Some may come from families of honor and prestige and power, families with well-known names of the community, names that are recognized by people in a particular area. Again, some may be a part of a family with great wealth. Others may be a part of a family that struggle, that just barely get by financially. Maybe a part of a family that is not well known except in the inner circle of that family. And so again, we recognize diversity among people. There are diverse religious views. Some people are agnostic. Some people are atheistic. They do not believe in God at all. Some people would follow the prophet Muhammad. Some people would follow the Jewish thoughts and ideas of our current day and time. Others would follow what they would call Christianity. And yet, even in Christianity, you see a wide variety of views and ideas. So there's great diversity among people. And you look at the daily routine of people. We don't all do the same thing. We don't all get up at the same hour. We don't all go through the same routine to get ready for the day, to eat breakfast, to get up and shave and to do the different things. There is diversity with regard to a daily routine, and we understand that. But there are also similarities, especially similarities between Christians. And yes, some of the diversity does exist. We acknowledge that. But think about the similarities. In diversity, again, there are people here of different ages. There are people in this audience tonight who are not yet accountable to God. And they're not responsible for the things that they do spiritually before God because they're not at that age of accountability. But you look at Christians, and we have one thing in common, and that is we are all at that age of accountability. We are all able to choose to serve God or to reject God. And so every child of God must be able to hear, to understand, to believe, must be able to respond in repentance and confession and the choice of baptism, choosing to be baptized into Christ, choosing to be immersed in water for the remission of sins. So there's great similarity between Christians. We are all God's children. We recognize the value of family in the world in which we live. We understand the protection that is there, the guidance that is there, the support that we get from a good, loving, kind family. But we are God's children, God's spiritual family. We are part of the spiritual kingdom, and we are wealthy as part of God's spiritual kingdom. There is to be unity among Christians. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul talks about this unity, and I want you to note the degree of unity that is to exist. It is not shallow. It is not empty. It is a real unity of mind and thought and ideas. In verse 10, Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now that is a great degree of unity, is it not? In Ephesians chapter 4, there are several points of Christianity that are mentioned as one. Let's listen to what is said there in Ephesians 4 and verse 4. "There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So there again it relates and alludes to the family that exists, the spiritual family. He is our Father. But again, notice there is one. And I would suggest to you that there has to be some degree of unity in our daily routines, in the way that we live. Yes, there will be diversity. We have students in the audience tonight. We have people who go to work each and every day outside of the home to make a living for their family. We have stay-at-home moms. We have moms who work. And so we have great diversity in what we do as people. But think about the similarities that must exist, that should exist among Christians. I would suggest to you that a day in the life of a Christian should exhibit some common factors, and that these should be present in every child of God's life. First of all, just think about the family duty for a moment. Staying in the book of Ephesians, we look in chapter 5, and we note there God's instructions to husbands and wives. In verse 22 of Ephesians 5, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And so this is what you will find in the life of a Christian wife. This respect for God's line of authority, the respect for the husband as God has established to be the head of the family. And yes, it is a subordinate position. There is to be an obedience there, a subjection there, that the wife puts herself in. It is a matter of choice. When a Christian woman marries, she understands that in her daily life, she is going to be submissive to her husband. And that is what you will see in the life of a Christian woman, a wife. But also notice what he says to the husbands. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And he goes on and continues talking about that relationship of love. And so when you look at a godly man, when you look at a Christian who is the husband of a woman, he is going to have this degree of love, of self-sacrifice, to put his wife even before himself, to be willing to give himself for her happiness. I believe that if you have a wife and a husband with these Christian qualities, they cannot but help to have a happy and fulfilled home life. This is God's direction, God's will. When there is a breakdown, it is usually because one or both do not follow what God has said. So when you look at a man as a husband, a Christian, his daily life, he is going to have that respect, that love for his wife. In chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And so when children, again, who are at the age of accountability, especially when they're able to understand right from wrong, when they're able to understand and make decisions that are more with that intellect that God gives them, that ability to distinguish, children, godly children, have that respect for their mom and dad. Have that degree of honor for them, to them. I'm not suggesting that the 3 or 4 or 5 year old should not be taught to obey. They should. But it is a teaching process. You know, you get from a point as a parent when the child is 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years old, to being able to make the child do something. And that child gets to be 15 or 16 or 17 years old. And now, if you've not taught the child respect and obedience, it can be a real struggle. And certainly when the child gets to be 18, 19, 20 years old, it's impossible to make that child do something. That child still needs to have the love and the respect that God speaks of here. And then he says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Godly parents will do this. Godly parents will instruct their children. Godly parents will want their children to do right. And so there will be that constant teaching, that constant instruction, admonition. It doesn't start again just when the child reaches the age of accountability. It starts when that child is born. Letting the child know the boundaries that exist out there when they do get a little bit older. You can't wait and talk to a child when they're 15 or 16 years old about modesty issues. You can't wait and talk to that child about drinking. You can't wait and talk to that child about smoking or about cussing or about any other of the other things that maybe as parents we understand children should not be involved with. That's what happens in the daily life of a Christian parent. It's a day of work or responsibility. A little bit later in Ephesians 6, he then talks about servants and masters. And I want you to listen to what he says there. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with them. And so, God talks to us about this work responsibility and duty. The idea that when we go out into the world and we do the things that we are supposed to do, that we do it as God's people. Now, not everyone is in the workplace or the workforce. Again, you have children who are going to school. You may have those who are no longer working or those who have lost their jobs. But regardless of that, when we go out into the world and we have duties and responsibilities, we take those seriously. And we live and act as a Christian would, because we understand it is also a day of influence. And so the way people see me as a parent, as a husband, as a child, as a sibling, the way people see me make a difference. The way people see me in my work, in my effort at school, makes a difference. The passage read a few moments ago by Wes in the book of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus makes it very clear the duty we have with regard to influence. The salt and the light that is spoken of there. When you go out, your life is to be that living example. It does not replace the ability to simply sit down and instruct or to teach. Sometimes we say that we can teach just by the lives we live, and that's true. But I don't want us to think that that replaces the dissemination of information. Of giving instruction. It doesn't. But understand that if you don't have the kind of life that is the example God wants it to be, then probably the instruction you give, even though it may be right, is not going to be very effective. People are not going to listen to that. And so the day in the life of a Christian is a day of influence. Each day you go out there, someone is going to see you, they're going to look at you, they're going to take notice in what you are doing. It may not be great and profound at that particular moment. A day in the life of a Christian is a day of prayer. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul just simply said, pray without ceasing. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we know that after Jesus had a particularly busy time schedule, healing people, people coming to him, we know there in verse 35, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus began this morning praying to God. I cannot imagine a child of God beginning any day without prayer. I cannot imagine us ending any day without prayer. It is a day of study and meditation. It is a day in which we take the time to read and to learn from God's Word. That is exactly what Paul told the evangelist Timothy to do. Reading was important. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, beginning in verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. So here he's talking about the example, the influence. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, that is in life, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear to all. And so every day as a child of God, we need to take at least a few moments to read and to meditate and to think about God's Word and how it applies to us. If we've had a difficult day, how can God's Word help us at the close of the day? What passage can we read that will give us strength to face the next day? You see, the Bible gives us all of that, but only if we use it. And so every day in the life of a Christian is a day of study and meditation. It is a day of our very best effort. I think we all know that we cannot let our guard down. If we do, we know the end result of that. We know that Satan is ready. He is waiting for us to let our guard down. Is that not what Peter said in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8? When he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now listen to what he says. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so he says, you resist Satan. You keep your guard up. You be watchful, diligent in that. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And so the lives that we live on a daily basis, whatever it is we are doing, if we're at work, if we're with our family, if we're disciplining our children, if we're teaching our children, if we are talking to our spouse about the problems of the day, if we're just trying to unwind, if we go to work, and we work that 8-hour shift, that 10-hour shift, whatever time it may be for us, we are keeping in mind that we give it the best we have. Because we understand that it may be the last moment we have. It may be the last opportunity we have to make an impression, to do what is right. You know, if you talk to any coach of a higher level athlete, they will tell you that while practice is important, it's how you practice that makes the difference. It's how you practice. It's the effort that you give to that. It's the mundane things on a daily basis, where you learn how to block, where you learn how to catch, where you learn how to throw, where you learn how to hit, where you learn how to shoot. It's those things. More often than not, the athlete that excels is the athlete who goes beyond what you would think of as the normal call of duty. The athlete who is able to shoot 90% plus in free throws is not someone who goes out there in practice and shoots free throws 10 or 15 or 20 times. He's not the athlete who goes out there and shoots 100 times. It's commonplace for them to go and shoot thousands of times. Not each day, obviously, but during the course of the week, they will shoot the free throws hundreds upon hundreds of times. You see, they're doing it the best they can. They're working heartily. And we can take that same principle in our everyday lives, realizing that this may be the opportunity that we get to make a difference. This may be the opportunity that we get to reach someone, to touch someone, to convict someone. And so each day in the life of a Christian is to be the very best that he can make it. I fully realize that there are days when we are down, when there are days not going as well as we would like, and it's tough. It's hard. And I realize that some days we get done more than other days. But it's how we approach those days that matter. And what I'm saying is, a day in the life of a Christian is the best day he can make it by giving all that he has to that day. And if we're not doing that, I wonder if God is pleased. And really, I don't wonder, because I know God is not pleased when we're not doing the best we can do. A day in the life of a Christian, well, in many ways, it's like the day in anyone's life, in that we get up in the mornings and we go to bed at night, and in between those times, we have things to do. We don't all do the same thing. We don't all get up at the same time and go to bed at the same time. But that's really not what is important, is it? What is important are the things that we've talked about here at the conclusion of our lesson. The family, the work and the responsibility, the duty that we have, the influence that we exert on people, a day of prayer and study and meditation and giving the very best that we have. If you're not a Christian, I hope and pray that tonight you'll make your life right with God, that you will decide to be a child of God and understand that from now on each day is a day in the life of a Christian. Your life, your duty, your responsibility. And maybe if as a Christian you have not been doing this lately, maybe life has gotten the better of you and you need to come back, you need to refocus. You need to recommit yourself and do that. Make tomorrow a great day. Make the rest of this day a great day in the life of a Christian. Respond if you need to us together. We stand and sing.